I thank you. This is a very nasty thing to do, I realize, but could I ask you to move down a little closer to the front? There's something frightening about voids, and there are lots of those. That way we can not have to shout at one another. What I thought I would do tonight is read a little bit from my first novel, and then read some poems, and then read from the novel that I'm doing now, that I've finished actually, but I'm revising. It will be a first for me because I haven't shown this second novel to anyone, or haven't read from it so far. So any reaction that you have, I would be very grateful for. I'm reading the poems, one or two of my own, but also of other people's, because it seems to me that you get awfully tired of listening to one voice, one fictional voice, for a whole reading. So we'll try to break it up with that. This first novel is written as an attempt to write an oral novel in Southern dialect, as a matter of fact. The hill dialect, more or less, that you find in Tennessee, North Alabama, West Virginia, these areas. And it has no objective narrator. It's a story that's being told by a man named Mr. Fred, sitting around a fishing camp, as a matter of fact, telling this story, and listening to it is a black man named Gus, who was present during the events of the story. Now, he's thinking as Mr. Fred is talking, and he's remembering the events of the story from a different point of view. I'm going to read just a little bit of it to get something of the flavor of it. It will be Mr. Fred telling part of the story and Gus thinking. The story concerns, basically, one Sunday on which Mr. Fred... Ossie, who's the hero of the story, and a hillbilly musician, and Carl, who is something of a preacher. He gave up knifing people and went to preaching, and preaches mainly to stumps and beer cans and trees because no one else will listen to it. And the villain of the story, J.D., who is mean, period. There's no way to explain some kinds of meanness. Okay, so they're telling about what happened when they tricked Ossie into the cage they had built for the hog that they were going to haul across the county. And Ossie's in his tuxedo, and he's stuck in the cage, which is on the back of the truck, and they're on their way to Ossie's house. I'm going to read just a little bit of it. Mr. Fred's talking to begin with. Ossie is in the back in the cage, and with him is Gus, who is the black guy. Little old sand dirt road with pine straw all over it was all there was up to the camp, and we taking it slow. Woods was steaming all around us and seemed like the gnats was outrunning us, getting stuck in the sweat on our eyebrows when they come into the truck. Birds carrying on like a bunch of dagos everywhere. Truck rattling, winding up that old mountain, us swaying up against one another with the ruts in the road, and Ossie there in the back a singing beat hell, "Mammy, mammy, tell me, mammy, mammy mine, why do the white folks' chillens call me Snowball all the time?" And trying to get Gus to join in with him, and Gus declaring he just didn't feel like no singing right then. Gus is the black guy, remember. Doggedest way to spend a Sunday I ever seen. And old Carl had got all fired up by J.D. asking him if it wasn't a Christian thing to do to get some more whiskey, and I had to listen to him going on too, saying something like, talking to J.D., of course, "You know, J.D., Miss Tidwell seen Jesus in her washing machine last week." And J.D., who wasn't half listening, answering, "That's so." Carl keeping on, "Yep, Witnessed about it in church last Sunday, Mama said. Bent down to take her husband's overhauls out, and there was Jesus looking up at her. Don't say. Yeah, Mama says it must be a sign about what she's heard about niggers stealing washing machines or something. Niggers or communists or something like that. Uh-huh. Of course, Miss Tidwell ain't seen Jesus in no automobile yet, but I have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I have, a long time ago. Must have been. Yeah, I think so. A Chevrolet it was. 1937 four-door, I think. Now, Gus is thinking. Oh, there are lots of things you think, crazy old man, but not much you know, is there? See Jesus in a whiskey bottle if there was a chance, wouldn't you? But what he seen and what you seen be something else. My mom and daddy talking, I recollect, after supper in the evening, before the lamps was lighted. Daddy rocking on the porch, me a setting with him, being the most oldest. Daddy seen it, he say, working by the mules. He be right near and seen it all. Great, great big old winch thing they was. Mules hooked up to it, go round and round and round all day long, go round and round and round, and winching them cars up the slope. He's talking about mine, of course. This is in mining country, and the mules would winch them. Cars up. Stop and start, stop and start. Stinking mules black with old coal dust. Best they figure, Daddy say. Little Schmidt boy, this is Ossie when he was a child. Come a following shack rousters that morning, watching him bring in his daddy. The shack rousters, by the way, were interesting. Was an interesting occupation. You see, when you lived in a coal mining camp, and you lived in a company house, and when you didn't go to work, the company would send men around to drag you out of bed and drive you to work. They'd put you between two mules and, drive you up to the mines. It was the theory being that as long as you were living in a company house, you had to go to work to pay for it. Old man Tittle bringing him in, saying he know he ain't that sick, and little Schmidt is slipping along behind. Don't take long, I reckon. He see old man Tittle be all right. Be right, his daddy ain't all that sick. So he slip over by the tracks what come up out the slope. Gonna find him a spike, he say, after it all over with. Great big spike, what he need for some kind of old spinning jenny thing he make it. Well, he look over one side of the tracks and don't find none, lessen it drove in too good to take out. Little old thing he be, and everybody know him, don't pay him no never mind, so I reckon he decided to look on the other side of the tracks, over where he can't see on account of the cars lined up waiting to be weighed. Make sure ain't about nobody looking, must have. Then hop he go betwixt the cars, stop, step on the coupling and clank, old mule step, winch turn, cars jerk, and down he go. Scream like a caught bobcat. And whomp come the wheel right halfway across his belly and stop. Old mules blink and push harder. Whomp come the wheel down, and up come the nextus, and somebody stop the mules. Well, he don't pass out then, say he can't feel nothing at all, even explain why he there while they was a-calling his daddy and the doctor. Everybody is scared to move anything. Just unhitch the mules and lock the winch till the doctor come, and him still scrunched half up under that car, which, praise the Lord, was empty. Somebody take off in a wagon after his mama and wait. Nobody move. Doctor don't come. Straw boss don't know what to do. His daddy come up the slope, carbide still a-hissing, and sit with him. He don't know nothing to do except sit. Talking to him real low, and when the wagon with Miss Schmidt come up, boy still don't move. Then they all sit together, trying to talk something or another to the little old boy and him not half knowing what they're saying. Doctor still don't come. Sun getting higher, getting hotter and hotter. Everybody clustering around the car and not making a sound. Finally, straw boss, talking through his nose like he always do, say, gonna die when they move that car, ain't he? And boy, hear it. Nobody say a word. Little old boy, he lay a while, seemed to study on it. Mama, he say after a spell, I'm going to heaven if I die, ain't I, Mama? Yes, she tell him. Will you go with me, Mama? He ask her. Little nigger would shovel up the mule shit, giggle, and straw boss come backhand him across the mouth. No, she say. No, Ossie, I can't go yet. Daddy, he say. Will you go with me? Little nigger giggle again and run off amongst the mules so Straw Boss can't find him. No, son, Mr. Smith said, kind of choke up. It ain't my time yet. You gotta go by yourself, I reckon. Little Smith boy lay and study a mite more. Will you meet me there, then? He say, brightening up and grinning like everything gonna be all right. His mama cried a little bit and say they would, and he shut his eyes, still a-smiling. Then directly he opened them up again, and his mouth kind of hang open. Looky, he say, staring straight up at the sun. Looky yonder, mama, ain't that the prettiest man you ever seen? It's Jesus, mama, it's Jesus. He's a-coming for me. Can you see him, mama? Can you see him? Everybody kind of step back and look up. Miss Schmidt bust out a-crying again, fall down on her stomach, a-hugging the boy, a-yelling, don't do it, right in his ear. But he keep a-staring up at the sun and smiling all glassy-eyed, not paying no attention to nobody. Then, Lord God Almighty, they come a-whoop from out behind the mules that would a-shook the walls of Jericho down without ne'er a trumpet. Mules and folks all give a jump about half a foot off the ground, and out come the little nigger what been hiding, a-tearing out like 400 hell in amongst the folks, riding on the back of the meanest-looking mule I ever seen in my life. A-whooping like Judgment Day, the mule's scared and a-hollering to bust a gut, and when folks see what it be and get a hold of themselves, they all commence to cussing and chasing the mule all around the yard and by the mule pens and down by the cars again, till finally little nigger fall off by the dynamite shack and they pounces on him. Shack roused to Mr. Tittle. He the maddest, I reckon, because he go to kicking the boy and the rest of us colored kind of back off some. Well, Mr. Tittle got some boots, so he do pretty good job. And when he threw, Straw Boss come out and dragged the boy off under a tree. Everybody come back to see about the little Schmidt boy. But what they don't know, doctor done come while they be a-chasing the little nigger and done got the boy in a wagon a-going home. He ain't died after all, and Jesus done gone away without him. Yes, sir, Mr. Carl, you got a long way to go. It's painful sometimes to write a book like that because it uses and explores a great number of attitudes that may be repulsive to one, but yet it was that way, and it does no good to hide it and to pretend it wasn't that way, as a good many of our motion pictures seem to do nowadays.